Your Bibles today, the book of Genesis, chapter number 29 this morning. Genesis chapter 29. I want to begin reading in the 16th verse of Genesis 29. I'll ask you if you will stand to your feet this morning as we reverence the reading of God's infallible word. Genesis 29, verse 16. And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. This morning we want to preach on influencing generations. We're thinking about Leah in triumph over tears. Leah's was a very hard, painful, hurtful circumstance. And this morning the Lord told me, he said, there are people here today that you're going to preach to that's all they can do to even lift their head up. It's all they can do to even take the time to hear what you have to say, but be encouraged, preach the word, I'm going to help them. And I don't know who it is today that I'm preaching to. It may be one person. And maybe they're online, I don't even know. But I'm preaching this morning. You just say amen and oh me and get some help from God. Pray for me as I preach this morning. Lord, I need your help. Lord, there's a task that needs to be done of encouragement, of help, of ministering to someone who is downcast and downtrodden. And Lord, I do not know what has befallen them, what has brought dissolution into their hearts and lives. But I pray today, God, that you might encourage them by your word, by your spirit, and by your son. Help us today, God, to do what only you can accomplish. For this I pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Now, we're studying influences that were in Joseph's life. And no doubt that Joseph was born to Jacob and Rachel, but Jacob also had another wife. He had two wives. Not that God agreed with that, but God allowed it. He permitted it. And I want to look this morning at the fact that Leah is the woman that Jacob did not love. Maybe you're here today and you're feeling unloved. You're feeling hurt, pain. Nobody knows the misery that you're in, but God does. I want to think first of all this morning how Leah, number one, Leah was disregarded. Now, in the home of Isaac and Rebekah, God blessed them with twins. The first one was Esau. The second one was Jacob. And when they were born, Jacob was holding his brother's heel when they were born. And Jacob got that name because he's a usurper. He's a cheater. He's a trickster. We know that later on in life that Esau came in hungry and Jacob had sod pottage. And that Esau sold his brother, he cheated his brother, out of that birthright for a bowl of pottage. And we know that his mother helped Jacob to put on goatskins on his arms. And so to get the blessing, the father who had lost his eyesight, basically, he said, the voice sounds like Jacob, but when I feel of you, you feel like Esau. That's why you don't go on feelings. And because he was such a trickster and a con man, he had to leave home from that very hour. He met a young lady by the name of Rachel. We read about her. She's beautiful. She's well-favored. And he falls in love with her. Problem is, she has an older sister by the name of Leah. In today's economy, that would be no big deal. Leah, the older sister, was tenderite. I don't exactly know what that means, but she's not as physically attractive as Rachel. Maybe she's squint-eyed. I don't know. But Jacob disregarded the older sister completely, and she poses a dilemma for young Jacob. The Bible tells us that Jacob began to scheme. He began to plan. Look with me in verse number 18, how Jacob loved Rachel. And look what he said. He said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. This was not the daddy's plan. This was Jacob's plan. This was Jacob the schemer. Jacob the idealistic one. Jacob the con man, the trickster. He's trying to make a plan to appeal to her daddy's economic interests. And so Laban agrees without hesitation. But he gives himself some wiggle room. Read the daddy's answer. He says, it is, verse 19, it is better that I give her to thee than I should give her to another man. Abide with me. Laban, the daddy, did not say this is a deal. Neither did he refer to Rachel by name. He said her. In his mind, her could be either one of his girls. Though Jacob said Rachel, the daddy's thinking, no, you're going to get Leah. You see, the con man is about to be conned. The trickster is about to be tricked. The schemer is about to be out-schemed. You see, you better be careful. You will reap what you sow. Jacob, not realizing the wiggle room the daddy thought about, served 7 years for Rachel. And he loved her so much that those days seemed but just a few days because of the love he had for Rachel. So Leah has been disregarded. Number two, I want to go a little further in the story and see that Leah was discarded. In verse 22, Laban gathered together all the men of the place and he made a feast. So it looks like he's going to fulfill his end of the bargain. And in verse 23, it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him. And he went in unto her. Preacher Darren, how did that happen? It was dark. He snuck her in probably the back of the tent. Laban took this opportunity to marry off what he considered was an unwanted daughter. He's discarded her. Verse 25 says, it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. The next morning, in the morning light, Jacob discovers it's Leah. He has been a victim of his own deceptive methods. What goes around comes back around. Not only has Jacob been tricked, but I also believe that Leah was tricked. I believe that Rachel was tricked. Some of you girls, imagine you fell in love with a young man. Y'all going to get married. There's an engagement. Only to find out your sister married him first. Imagine how you'd feel. You've been discarded, and that by your very own daddy. In fact, keep reading verse 25. He says to the father-in-law, to Laban, he says, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou, what's the word, beguiled me? Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. In other words, around here, young man, the younger cannot get married before the older one. The way it's done here, the older one is given away in marriage first. Do you see how he discarded his very own daughter to accomplish what he wanted? Thirdly, stay with me, we're going somewhere. Thirdly, notice how Leah was displaced. In verse 27, Laban, the father-in-law, says, fulfill her week. What is that week? What does that mean? The bridal week, the marriage feast. Fulfill this week with your new bride, Leah, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve me yet 7 other years. So what does that mean? It says, if you'll give Leah this week, at the end of this week, I'll give you Rachel too, and you'll serve me 7 more years. So now, in 1 week's time, he's got two wives that are sisters. Lord God in heaven, this is the beginning of that boy's troubles. And Jacob did so, and he fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. Wow. And Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter, Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel. And he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet another 7 years. We may say that Jacob is married to one woman that he doesn't love, but who wanted his love at any cost. He married another woman that he loved dearly, but was barren. In addition, he's obligated to work for a man that has completely defrauded him for another 7 years. Do you see problems in a dysfunctional family happening? And you think you have problems. You consider your circumstance today and you think you are the only one that has issues. Honey, this is the Word of God. It is the Bible. It is the book. And it identifies with the problems that we have in our everyday life. Jacob loved Rachel more than he loved Leah. And Leah's darkness is just getting progressively darker because of two schemers in her life. Her life is now a soap opera. She is an unloved woman in an unhappy relationship with a man who wants nothing to do with her. And I want to say today, you may be a woman or you may be a man. Will you hear me today? You have been rejected. You are living with the hurt and the pain and the agony and the misery of being rejected, unwanted, and it hurts. Absolutely. God today sent me down here to tell you that though you're hurt, though somebody's come against you, you can depend on God. He knows what you're going through. He knows about the conversation. He knows the depravity that's going on in this situation. Rejection, favoritism, jealousy, rivalry, distrust, which led to unhappiness and anguish, stress and anxiety. I think about Leah being a picture or a type of Christ, if you will. What? Well, we said that Leah was disregarded. Was Jesus not disregarded? The Bible says, when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was undesirable. The Bible says he came to his own, and his own received him not. He's disregarded. He identifies with Leah. We said that Leah was discarded. Jesus, she was cast out, basically. Think about Jesus. He was cast out. They said, we will not have this man to rule over us. We said that Leah was displaced. Displaced by her sister Rachel. Jesus was displaced by Barabbas, a robber. What did the people want? Who do you want? You have a custom that we should release a prisoner unto you. Do you want this man Jesus, or do you want Barabbas, a man guilty of murder and sedition? And you know what the people said? Give us Barabbas. They rejected, disregarded, discarded, and displaced the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, through the pain and the misery and the agony and the suffering that you are feeling, the Lord Jesus knows right well what you're going through. Number four, I want you to see that Leah was disrespected. Let's read on in verse number 31. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Now think about it. God saw that Jacob, the con man, loved Rachel more, and so God closed Rachel's womb and he opened Leah's womb. And although Leah was not loved by Jacob, God loved her. And though today you are not loved, you're not wanted, you're not appreciated by whoever this is, God told me to tell you, he loves you. And you say, well, that's good, and I know that, but I want more, and I need more. So let's talk about this for a second. Life is unfair. It is, and I'm glad it's unfair. Preacher, what did you say? I'm so glad it's unfair. What if God gave you what you really deserved? What if God was fair? What if he gave you what you deserved? I'd be in hell with my back broken. I would forever be unloved and unwanted if I got what I deserved. So I'm glad God's unfair. Life seems to be unfair. Dreams are often shattered. Difficulties. But I promise you, when God sees, are you hearing me? When God sees that you have had people come against you and you of your own, listen, not even your fault, they did not want you, they rejected you and you hurt, God is going to supernaturally open a door and provide a blessing just for you. I'm telling you, the word of God. Leah, the Bible says in verse 32, Leah conceived and bare a son. And she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord. Did you know that Leah is the first person to use the capital L-O-R-D as a covenant relationship in vocabulary? Leah, the unloved and unwanted woman, is the first one to declare the covenant relationship with God Almighty as the Lord in your Bible. Isn't that interesting? Surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. Now we're talking about Leah being disrespected. She has a son. His name is Reuben. It means see a son. Leah's saying this, I've done for you, Jacob, what Rachel could not do. Though you love her, I have borne you a son, which Rachel, my sister, could not do. And Jacob, I want you to see. I want you to see me. Well, y'all look, I feel like you're not looking at me. I want you to look at me so bad. Today, the reason I'm saying this is today, whatever you're dealing with, you have a someone who's hurt you. And they don't even see you. You feel unseen. You feel invisible. You feel not valued by whoever this is that's hurt you with their actions. And she says, now my husband will see me. He will appreciate me. He will take notice of me. He will now regard me. He still didn't love her, though he bore her a child. And today, though you're trying to be noticed, though you're trying to be valued, though you're trying to be prized, they still don't see you, and it's driving you mad. Read on. The Bible says, verse 33, she conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. The name Simeon means heard. This is what she's saying. Jacob, over here. I understand that I'm not attractive. I understand that you don't want to look at me and you don't want to see me and you're not going to regard or notice me. But Jacob, with two sons that are yours, I want you to hear me. I want you to hear what I have to say. Y'all look at me. I'm telling you, it's driving me nuts today. There is some innate quality in you that wants to be seen. You hear me right now? Look at me. You're doing it. That's why I'm doing it, because you're doing the same thing. Look at me. Notice me. Pay attention to me. They don't do it. So you said, I have an innate ability inside of me, quality, to be heard. I want to be heard. I want my opinions to matter. I want you to hear the cry of my heart. I want you to hear my needs. I want you to hear and let me declare my love for you and my appreciation for you. But Jacob would not see her, and Jacob would not hear her. I'm talking to somebody. I don't know who it is, but I'm telling you, I feel the Holy Ghost has dug in right here. Look at the next one, verse 34. She conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. The name Levi, or in the Hebrew, Levi, it means connected, joined, or attached. If he doesn't see my beauty, if he won't hear me, we'll have an emotional connection. We'll have an attachment. There will be something there that brings me and him together. But the truth of the matter is, though he had three sons, he would not see her, he would not hear her, and he was not connected to her. He would not commit to her one iota. And I'm telling you, you want to be valued, you want, then there's something inside of you that says, I want this person to notice that I am worth committing to. And Jacob said, no, you're not. And this is what hurts you the most, that you feel like someone is saying to you that you are not worth committing to. Leah was disrespected. She is not seen. She is not heard. She is not worth being committed to. Fifthly, and I'm done, there is Leah's discovery. The Bible says in verse 35, and she conceived again and bare a son and said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah, and she left barren. Her complaint in the first three, the cry of her heart over and over again, but now this son, she's not crying out anymore. She realizes she's never going to win Jacob's love in her own efforts. You can't make somebody love you. There's nothing you can do to make them love. I wouldn't want to have to do that, to be honest with you. So what does she do? She turns to God. Instead of focusing on herself and this overriding compulsion, she focuses on God. God is the only one she can rely on. God is the only one who loves her unconditionally. You want to be seen? God sees you. You want to be heard? God hears you. You want to be committed to? God said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I cannot control people's opinions of me. Sometimes it drives us mad when the preacher's not loved by his congregation, or when somebody amongst the congregation doesn't love or doesn't appreciate the pastor, and it drives preachers crazy. Listen, I understand as a pastor, I cannot control your opinion. I cannot control your feelings. I cannot control your emotions. I'm going to tell you something. This person that you're dealing with, this hurt that you feel, you can't control their opinions of you. Honey, and it doesn't even matter who needs them anyway. You've got God, and that's the greatest one that you could ever have in your life. Will you hear me? Leah is putting her troubles, her complaints, her cries behind her, and she says, I am going to praise the Lord. In fact, the Jews, the word Jews is the abbreviated version of Judah. They're not named the Reubenites. They're not named the Simeonites. They're not named the Levites. They're named the Jews after Judah. Hey, when Messiah comes, he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And Judah comes from Leah and her brokenness and her ability to say, I'm stopping my complaint. I'm getting over this issue with so-and-so, and I'm just going to start praising the Lord. And honey, when she did, she got victory. Hey, you are the apple of God's eye. She got content in God Almighty. So will you hear me for just a second? I want to make a point and I'm done. You will never find validation in the eyes of someone else. You try to validate who you are based on what somebody else thinks, honey, you'll live a life of misery. You do not validate yourself on the eyes of other people. Your self-worth is not coming being heard by someone else. Your self-esteem is not from having to have a committed relationship. The first thing you need to do is have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when she started praising the Lord, things began to change very quickly in her life. Maybe today you're feeling rejected, but you're not rejected of God. He sees you. He knows your needs. He hears your heart's cry. He's joined to you. When I remind you that Jesus is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He knows the deepest feelings of your heart. He knows about the rudeness. He knows about the insults. He knows about the pain and the problems and the troubles and the persecution you have suffered. He cares about you more than anybody else this entire world. And watch this. When she turned her focus from herself, needing to be seen, needing to be heard, needing to be committed to, when she turned her focus from herself and turned it to God, now God is going to pour out a blessing and she will have room to receive it. Look at chapter 30, verse 1. Watch this. When Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children. Now she's got his love, but she can't have his little ones. When she saw she bare Jacob no children, Rachel, the well-favored one, the lovely one, the beautiful one, the one that has his love, she envied her sister. Interesting. Leah is going from the woman nobody loves to the woman everybody envied. Here's what God's going to do. Will you hear me? God is going to take the darkness of your life when you take these needs you have and you give them to God and you say, I'm just going to praise you, Lord. He's going to take the darkness of your life and he's going to turn it into the dawn of his blessing. Oh, God's got something good for you. Leah, she became a stepmother to young Joseph that would be born one day. And she told him the story that when you're rejected and when you have unearned suffering, that God turns that into his redemptive power. God begins to intervene in your life and he's going to bring something new to birth into your life supernaturally that will make you more happy and more filled with joy than whoever or whatever this was. Maybe it was a promotion you were seeking. Maybe it was some girl you were after. Maybe it was some guy that you thought that's who you have to have. You have to have Mrs. Right or you have to have Mr. Perfect. That was so-and-so was just it. And why am I where I am today? Honey, will you hear me? God is about to bring something new into your life supernaturally. This is the word of God. He did it for Leah, and she had all these physical and all these spiritual needs, and God did it for her. He's going to do it for you. And that ought to excite you today. God, out of your pain and out of your problems, he's going to do something supernatural. I got to read this, and I'm done. In Genesis 49, I spent many weeks, a few years ago, I think, preaching about gathered around the father and all the sons as they gathered around Jacob or Israel as he was a dying. And he told every one of them what they were going to be given. And he's kind of give a blessing to them or maybe told some things are going to be fulfilled in their lives. And watch what Jacob, now his name's been changed to Israel, right? Watch what he says in verse number 29 of chapter 49. We're concluding here. Genesis 49:29. And he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite for a possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah, his wife. And there I buried, interesting, it says Leah. After all was said and done, Leah was the one who truly loved him. So I'm saying this today. You feel defeated. And your vocabulary and your eyes looking down and not wanting to look up. He's the lifter up of your head. He's trying to encourage you. And what he's telling you is, you have a lot of love to give. You would love like nobody else would love. And God knows that. And God has a special reward just for you because of the unearned suffering that you're having to endure. Woo! God is going to do a great thing in your life. So what I've learned is when people oppose and come against you and reject you and they don't want you and they don't love you, God sees and he takes your side and he says, I'm going to do something so wonderful for you. Everybody else, you'll be their envy. They're going to think I love you the most when really I love everybody the same. I'm interested in the supernatural blessings of God. You stand to your feet today. Brother Seth, if you'd come, I'm telling you, there's somebody here. You remember who was blessed of this relationship? Hey, Jacob says, I want to be buried in that place. Messiah's coming. His kingdom's coming. When I get up, I want to see Messiah. Leah's going to be with me there. Hey, glory to God. Hey, one day, he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus is coming again. Your head bowed, nobody's looking. There's somebody. There's people here today. Maybe it's our church being unwanted. Maybe it's our church being unloved. Maybe it's our church being unappreciated. Maybe there's a woman here. Maybe there's a man here. You need to come to the altar and say, Preacher Darren, I need to come to the altar today. God is dealing with me. I feel unloved. I feel unwanted. I feel undesirable. Preacher Darren, I want to come before the Lord. I want to ask your blessing, God, today. Folks are coming. Folks are coming. Folks are coming. I'm telling you, maybe you're not that person, but maybe there is somebody here in your family, somebody in your life that you know this is what they need to hear today. If they could just hear this today, it would encourage them. It would give them hope. I want to go to the altar in their place. I want to say, oh God, would you speak to them? God, would you remember them in this situation? God, I'm asking for it. Would you come? Folks are moving, still moving, still moving as a special request. Maybe you have a daughter, a granddaughter, a son or a grandson. Maybe you have a loved one today. Man, there's such a need they have. God, would you meet it? Would you come right now? Let's pray. God, would you meet it? Come right now. Let's ask God. Just go ahead, Lord. Touch them. Folks are still moving. God bless you for your honesty. God bless you for your faith. God bless you for the desire you have for your family that God would take care of their need. Would you come this morning? Father, this morning, I'm asking your blessing, God, upon these that feel unwanted, unloved, unseen, unheard, uncommitted to. Lord, they feel rejected. There's pain, trouble. They didn't get the boy. They didn't get the girl. They didn't get the promotion. Things have not turned out in their life like they thought they would, and they've tried to be faithful, and they've tried to be true, and they've tried to do the right thing, and the devil's pointing out, oh, if God was really God, he'd do this for you or that for you, and you'd not have any pain or problems, and they're about ready to turn to the world, and they can't even lift their head. God, would you show them today? Would you show them your love for them? Would you show them you've committed to them? And God, would today be the day that you would dawn a blessing in their life. God, that would be better to them than a million or 1,000 or 100 or 7 more of whatever it is that they're wanting. God, I pray you'd fulfill with your power. In Jesus' name I ask and pray. Amen.